This is Dojo Live, Tech Without Borders, stories that bring us together. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dojo Live this Wednesday, August 17th, 2022. My name is Kim Lantis, and it's my pleasure to be joining you here from Hermosillo, Sonora. Co-hosting with me is Matt Perez. Hey, Matt. Thank you. Joining us from Ancora. And Matt, the name of the city where you are? See, Ross knows the name of the city. We got this pre-show, and I didn't catch it.
Los Gatos.
Los Gatos.
Yeah.
Okay, in California. And of course, the guest of today's show, the star, is Ross Burdorf, CEO of Zen Business. Thank you, Ross, for joining us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, we're going to have a great talk. The topic we chose today, or rather you chose, is entrepreneurial optimism in a turbulent economy. But before we get to that topic, we'd love to get to know you a bit better. Ross, if you could tell us your story and sort of what led up to where you are with Zen Business today. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a degree in computer science from the University of Texas, and, you know, I'm a programmer by training and computer scientist. But, you know, early on, I got the entrepreneur bug and have been an entrepreneur ever since. So I've worked at a series of companies. You know, Matt and myself will not disclose our age, but Matt will probably recognize some of the company names, but other folks weren't. The highlights are probably HAL Computer Systems, which was the last computer company from the ground up, out of Campbell, California, but had a big office in Austin. And then, of course, Excite.com. I was one of the early folks there. And then most recently, I was a founding CTO at HomeAway. We started the vacation rental business, created that vertical. And then most recently, you know, I took the plunge into being a CEO at Zen Business. I tell everyone that my career path had ended. That was my only option, was to be the CEO. And I tell my CTO at Zen Business, who ran my platform at HomeAway, I tell Alex, I said, listen, you have the hardest job of any of us. I'm telling you, being a CEO is so much easier than being the CTO. It's a piece of cake. And everyone says I'm doing a passable job, so that's good enough.
All right. I love it. I love it. We'll look at it as a step up. That's awesome. So let's talk a bit about Zen Business, who you are, the problem that you're solving as a company.
Well, you know, Zen, I don't want to be too commercially here. You know, we're very passionate at Zen Business. We're a public benefits corp. So, you know, we're out to save the world. And, you know, what we truly believe and what we see from our customers, we get lots of love letters, is that, you know, we are this one-stop shop for you to launch, run, and grow your small business. So, you know, we really are taking the solopreneur, the micro business, the long tail of the SMB market, and we provide everything they need to run their business, from, you know, the idea, the formation, the website, all the financial services, the marketing, you know, taxes, invoicing, just everything, merchant account, everything that they need to get up and running. We have community and coaching also. So really, you know, that we're creating a new segment, or have created a new segment.
Like you've done before. Amazing. Thank you. I love the one-stop shopness of it. So the topic you chose today is the entrepreneurial optimism in a turbulent economy. And really what you wanted to talk about is specifically the American entrepreneur, and how more and more people are really leaving their jobs despite maybe uncertainty or a turbulent economy, and for something better. And the postulation here is being their own boss. So let's talk a bit about that. Why did you choose this topic today?
Well, I mean, I hope it's obvious. You know, we want all of our customers want to be their own boss. And you know, Mark Cuban's our spokesperson. And we're getting ready to launch our brand marketing stuff this fall. And I'll keep that a secret. But I will tell you, you know, I'm from Nebraska. And so we get to, you know, I say we have a great education, but we swear a lot. And it was fantastic because we showed Mark our commercial and he swears a lot too. I don't know if everybody knows it, but he does swear a lot. And so I automatically was endeared to him because then I could start swearing. But he said he effing loved our commercial that we were launching this fall. And that commercial, I'm not going to give it away, but it's really all about empowerment. We are very, very impassioned to make sure that the folks, the long tail of the small business arena really is, it deserves to have the best products and tools and deserves to have someone, a company that's backing them and has their best interests in mind. And that's what we do. We feel like that, you know, the optimism that I have is, you know, there's this pandemic, this black swan event has really accelerated everyone working at home. And it's really accelerated all of the tools that are now available. We build, we partner, we integrate to create the best solution, a curated solution for this customer base. And we price it for this customer base. So we did a lot of product research and on average, our customers are using 13 different software platforms that aren't integrated, independent, all kinds of wacky logins, don't know what they necessarily do or if they need them or if they completely function. We bring those solutions all together. So, you know, I'm optimistic in that, finally this segment is not only been accelerated by the pandemic, but there's also the tools are in place in the market in general. And what we're doing is bringing all together in one place with a fantastic experience.
Great. You feel free to swear on our show. You know, it's allowed. Being a Montana girl and the father that I'm used to it.
No, I'm sorry. No. I'm not going to swear.
I'm just teasing you. So let's talk about this increase, or let's talk about some numbers here of why. What is pushing the pandemic you touched on, pushing people to have a more entrepreneurial spirit? What else drives this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, millions of people are now grinding their teeth and clinging to jobs that make them miserable. According to Tech Republic, 75% of all workers feel trapped, and half of the workers reported being burned out, sleepwalking, and so miserable that they're gaining weight. You know, this really is, you know, and I'll bring Cuban back up because we were talking about the pitch, and you know, our big push is, you know, own what's yours. You know, Nike has just do it. Ours is own what yours. And so, you know, we're really, I guess I will swear a little bit. We're really going, we're here to kick the shit out of big business and big corporate America. I hope we're not offending too many. Well, we want to actually offend people. We want to offend people. And, you know, the real question is that most people start these things as side hustles. And then once they get going, then they put more effort into them and they don't have a lot of time. So, you know, we're here to fit into that cycle and make them successful. I say the only thing worse than working for yourself is working for someone else. And so, you know, you really, whose exit strategy are you working for? Whose 401k are you working for? Folks really want to, with the pandemic, they really want to, change their life. And this is one of the ways that you can change your life by making more money working for yourself and, you know, having a better balance. And I found out early on in my career, this is, you know, I can speak from the heart. This is the, as I said, the only thing worse than working for yourself is working for someone else. And Mark had a, you know, what he said is why not me? And, you know, he was putting forward is why not me? Why am I not, you know, why am I not, you know, making it big, or why am I not out there starting my own business? And I do think it's, you know, it's scary. It's frightening. You know, we found that to be the one of the number one reasons folks don't do it is just basic fear or not understanding or, you know, not knowing what to do next. And we just remove all of that fear and make it simple and easy. Lots of education and guided experiences for our customers.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's not just like, I'll speak, and I would like to hear from you, Matt, and your personal experiences of being entrepreneurs. But for me, what holds me back a lot of the times is the fear that you've mentioned, but also just this, what would I do? What would my business even be? So what kind of words of wisdom from your own experience or the customers that you have, what's that first step? What's that aha moment or that you can make a business out of that? What does that generally look like?
Yeah, I think, you know, the number one reason that businesses fail is because they run out of money. That seems obvious. The number two reason that they run out of money, or the number one reason they run out of money, is because there's no market for their product or service, or i.e. put simply, no one wants to buy what they're selling. And so, you know, what I tell people and what we see from our customer base is most of these things are side hustles or people transitioning out of working for someone else into, hey, I can do this myself, or, you know, gosh, I'm really good at this service or this product and people want to actually pay me for it. I'm going to go out there and try it myself. And of course you can have an idea see a need out in the market. But the most important thing is that, you know, it's something you're interested in and it's something that people want to pay money for. So, you know, if I would say these, you know, hardcore entrepreneurs that are like, hey, what's the first thing I should do? It's figure out if people will pay you money for what you're selling, because that product market fit is the most important thing. Don't worry about anything else. You know, will people pay for what I'm selling? And then, you know, just follow that path. And, you know, Kim, that's got to intersect with, as we said before, that needs to intersect with your desires. You know, if for me, making the world a better place, you know, contributing, and so there's more to it than that, but ultimately people have to, you know, get engaged with what you're selling.
It's got to be meaningful.
That's
the main thing. So it's interesting. You mentioned a couple of things that got my attention. One is Cuban. I happen to be Cubans, but although his last name is...
I think that's the last name. Though.
There's no connection. It just happened to be spelled the same. But the other one is the thing of the fear that Kim mentioned. And what you guys seem to be doing, I'm asking, this is a question, is a combination of coaching people and providing them with a foundation, with the tools, all in one place, as opposed to, you know, your cousin saying, oh yeah, I tried this one thing over here. And anyways, did I get that right?
True. Very true. I mean, you know, the problem with, you know, the majority, the overwhelming lion's share of our customers are first time entrepreneurs. So they by definition aren't business folks. I mean, I'm sure some percentage have went to business school, et cetera. But even if you've gone to business school, doesn't make you an entrepreneur. You know, what do I need to do first? What do I, what kind of, formation do I need to do? What kind of paperwork do I need to do? Do I need a website, et cetera, et cetera? All of these things, it can become overwhelming if you have to handle them all at once. We guide folks through that. We meet people where they're at, and we're focused on them making revenue, making money, and being successful. So the goal is, and we're very customer focused, is get these people to be successful on our platform. Then we're successful, and then we can make more and more of them successful. We have a grant program where we grant money to entrepreneurs to get them up and running. When you'll see our big brand campaign, once you see the commercial, I challenge you not to be in tears when you see it. It really is focused on folks that need help and very worthy people of our help.
Nice. The platform itself and this idea, I'm curious because it's something I've never done myself. I imagine that there is a logical flow of step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever as you're setting up your business. But then going back to this customer-centric element, this personalization element, and this coaching element, what can I expect when using your platform? How are you able to cater to maybe what's going to work for my business that might not work with someone else's business? What does that look like? And how are you utilizing technology to help with that?
Yeah, Kim, great question. We just launched what we call the engine. And we have an engine built into our product that guides you based on where you're at to the next logical step or the next step that is appropriate for you. So it's not, there certainly is, a 1, 2, 3, but we don't force 1, 2, 3 on you. It depends on where you are and where you come into the process. What's important, we have to-do lists, we don't say, hey, you got to get a bank account right now and you got to start doing accounting, because I think it's more important that they actually start making money so they can start counting the money, before they, or they'd start making money before they start counting it and depositing it. So it's flexible, but it does give you those tools, and they are guided experience, and there's guided educational experiences where you can, pull that all together and you get to make the choice of the next step. Now we present what, you can go into the app and we'll see where you're at, and we can say, hey, listen, we noticed you're making some money on your expense tracking and you don't have a bank account. Do you want to get a bank account? Here's a bank account, et cetera. So it's got to be this guided experience, because the problem right now is if you go out and look at entrepreneurial literature, it's confusing, and there's a ton of it, and some of it is just wrong, especially if you don't know, if you've never done this before and you go read a blog post from Elon Musk, that's probably not relative, depending, if it's inspirational or something, sure. But if it's, about building an electric car and you just want to start up your, maintenance service or your AC repair or, house cleaning. I mean, I'm nothing against Elon Musk, but it might not be necessarily relevant.
Right. No, I think that's an absolutely good point. So let's talk about your user base and the people who
remember. Here's the thing that where there's a lot of disconnect with the world of I'll pick on you, Matt, with the world of Silicon Valley and maybe the world of Austin too, and then the rest of us folks out there. When you talk about the small business market, 90% of the businesses are 10 or less employees.
Yes.
I mean, the core of what we're doing as small business is really, I mean, I don't want to say moms and pops, but that's what they are. They're moms and pops. It's folks that are out there, service-based businesses primarily, which is what we very much focus on. They just need to get it done and they need someone they can trust. And that's what we're focused on.
Yeah. And that actually led to my point, and you answered my question. I was like, who are your users? And I know you mentioned being from Nebraska. I'm from Montana. The largest city we've got was actually where I graduated from high school is Billings. And that's like, I think just now over 100,000 people, right? So the majority of it is communities of hundreds, maybe the low thousands spread across large distances.
Sure.
And going back to your point of 10 or fewer employees, you know, places where there are no McDonald's or Starbucks or anything similar. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of these folks tend to be, like, I think you brought up a really key word here, and that's distrustful, or maybe don't even have the knowledge or are a bit adverse to utilizing technology. How are you tapping into that? Like going back to the marketing side, or just building that trust, making your tooling something that actually works for them. What was that process?
Well, I think we firmly believe that brand equals trust, and our trust has to be a trustworthy brand. So, it's not, we focus a lot on customer success. We focus on our product being the best product. We focus on our customer NPS. We have the best in the industry as validated by independent consulting firm. So we stand out because we stand behind our product and our service, and we want our customers to be happy and successful. So I think that's it. I mean, our brand promise is, and I'll say it out there. I hope you guys got lots of traffic and we get famous, but our brand promise is own what's yours. You know, why are you giving away your brain? Why are you giving away your time? Why are you, giving away your life? Now, I'm not telling everyone to go quit their jobs tomorrow. That would be stupid. But I'm saying, put some focus in that side hustle until it becomes something big. And I'll tell a story. I was the founding CTO at HomeAway. We bought a VRBO, and we bought it from a great guy. I'm sure he won't mind me, Dave Klaus, who was the founder of VRBO. And when I'm talking to Dave, and he had a completely distributed, no office team. And Dave told me, I asked him, I said, well, when did you quit your job? He was a programmer at one of the big airline ticketing platforms. I can't think of it, in Denver. But I said, Dave, when did you decide to quit? And he said, well, Ross, when we were getting 2 paid listings a day, I could afford to quit my job. And so, and then needless to say, we paid a lot of money for that company. And then he made a ton of money off of the stock when we went public. So it's not impossible, but the way you do it is side hustle to something bigger.
I love it.
One thing you said about you have to own the thing at the end. I don't know if you can see it, but there's a book right there that I co-wrote with a couple of people, and it's about ownership is the key part of it. A lot of people are talking about self-management and stuff, and that's all, you need that as well, okay? But if you don't own it, you're working for somebody else. No matter what it looks like, you're working for somebody else.
That's right.
And but if you own it, you get the rewards, right? So it's very key, the part of ownership. And another thing, you said you have grants that you
get? We do grants. So we give $1,000 to, they fill out paperwork, and we have a internal employee run. Employees make up the team. It's a rotating team. It's not Ross or any of the shirt executives. It's the team, and they pick the worthy, you know, grantees. We've got some criteria in there around, you know, what we fund or what we give money to. And then, you know, we give to lots of other programs. We give out micro business loans on a micro business loan platform internationally. We've been focused primarily on women. But yeah, we give out grants to get people up and running. Our promotion, I wish I could let it go, but my branding people would kill me. We're going to be doing some big grants to, I think, one of the most worthy segments on the planet. I'll give a little to moms. How's that? To moms. Everybody's.
Yes, it is. Because if you think about it, the word economy means the management, how you manage your house and who manages the house. I mean.
Yeah. Well, Matt, you could write it. That's right. And by the way, folks, they took the brunt of this pandemic. Women did, and moms did in particular.
Yeah.
And they're coming back on fire, and we're going to help them.
Oh, I love it. And it really is all of the ownership, the meaningfulness, which I think you as in business are tapping into. We're coming to the final minutes of the show today, Ross. And I wanted to come back to company culture. What you said just a few minutes ago about rotating team members being the ones about making the decisions of who's getting these grants from you. And what motivates that for you? I mean, it makes perfect sense to me, but how would you encourage other leaders who might be struggling to sort of let go and, you know, help encourage people to let people do what they're best at?
Again, you know, it's, you know, I don't know if we're enlightened or semi-crazy. We don't care. But and by the way, I will tell you, we have fantastic investors, and they're some of the biggest investors on the face of the planet. And they love us, and we love them because we love our customers and our employees. I have the belief that if I treat my team members great, then they're going to treat our customers great. And so our number one focus at the company is our customer success people. Then our customers are number two. So we make sure our customer success people have all the tools, and support that they can in order to support our customers. And we build a product so that they can, it's a supportable product and so on and so forth. So, you know, we're 100% transparent with our employees. You know, so far so good. We tell them everything, you know, they can ask any question. We're open door policy like that. Until recently, we had, and we're getting bigger, but until recently, we had a waiting list for people to come and work in our customer care department. Right. We didn't recruit. So, you know, and we have a great retention. We have a really high retention. And so I think, you know, we treat people like adults, and we treat them fairly, and we pay them fairly. And, you know, we tell them what's going on. It's just, my belief is it's one, it's easier and it's more efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what, you know, I could never figure out at when young in early in my career at some of these big companies. I mean, who did they think that was working for them? You know? And so most of the people that work for me, the lion's share are, smarter, younger, and, more ambitious. You know, the only thing I threaten them with is I have more experience, but you know, that wears pretty thin with these younger folks. But, I think our keys to success is paying attention to these younger folks and really empowering them, and empowering the team. So, you know, they ask hard questions, but I should be able to answer those hard questions. Otherwise, I shouldn't be here.
Russ, I would love to talk to you some more. You should definitely read the book, that book.
That book.
And, but I have to go. So
yes, Matt's wrapping up here. He's got a hard stop. Radical companies and places like Zen Business, Ross, that have this type of
mindset. We're definitely radical.
I love it. Yes. And I love it. Either we're enlightened or crazy, maybe a bit of both, but it works. And it's definitely the shift. As we wrap up, I think you really did just fill us in with some words of wisdom. But I have one more question for you. Mm-hmm. And that is, throughout your entrepreneurial adventure, what have you personally gotten right? And looking back, what is the biggest thing you would have done differently?
Same answer. Fear is a liar, and, paying too much attention to that. I mean, if you look around, I think I should have been a CEO a long time ago, but what held me up was fear. And like I'm saying, I want all the CEOs on the planet to fess up to it. It's way easier than all the other jobs, the executive team. I mean, it's a certain skill set. There's a lot of pressure, and if you're a good one, you're worried about your employees and all your shareholders and your investors. And so that can be stressful, but it's not that high of an IQ job. You just have to pay attention and show up for work every day. There's a lot harder jobs. And remember, they did a survey and they said, what was actually the hardest job in the country? It was an executive assistant. That's the hardest job.
I bet.
You bet.
You keep everything afloat. And I enjoy your humility a lot in recognizing that. Thank you so, so much for your words of wisdom. A great show today. We'll be sure to be keeping in touch. Hang on just a second after we go off air. But I do want to introduce tomorrow's show. We have one more show this week on Dojo Live, 12 o'clock Pacific. It's going to be with Travis Rush, who is the CEO and co-founder of Reparo. And he'll be talking about bringing healthcare into the home, and more specifically, how employers, patients, and other stakeholders can utilize at-home screenings to help address the healthcare needs of the workforce, as well as underserved populations, and really hoping to prevent chronic conditions. That ultimately works out well for everyone, because we're talking about saving billions of dollars of healthcare costs each year. Thank you once again, Ross, for joining us, and have a great rest of your day.
Check out past episodes, transcripts, blogs, and more on our website, dojo.nearsoft.com.